The difference between an agent and a realtor is real. Realtors have the expertise to find exactly what you need and the ethics to do the right thing, even when it's the harder thing. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
What's up? We're back.
Oh, we are back.
The Cannabis Crew has returned from the dead. We haven't been here in a week and a half, Javi. I missed you. I saw
We've been here. We've been here just surrounded by a lot more people than usual.
Y'all, welcome to Cannabis Insider. Thrilled to have you all on with us. If you're watching for the first time, this is where we talk about cannabis news. It's where we talk to the major cannabis executives in the space. We had a great one planned for you today. Funny story, dude lost his voice at our conference because we party too hard, I guess. That being said, what we're going to do today is talk some news. Javier, we're going to get some deep dives and some thoughts from us on some news. If you all have news and stocks you want to hear about, drop it in the chat. Right, Javi? We want to
hear you
today.
Look, I just found a ladybug, so maybe you're getting lucky.
It's luck. Pure luck. How are you, man?
Pretty good. As I said, feeling lucky. I also find a lady bag in the conference. That is a different kind of thing. I had to return it, unfortunately. I'm just stupid today. Sorry. You know, the flight was long. There were no comforters. The AC failed. So it's like 60 degrees for 10 hours. So, you know, I'm rebooting the experience for you.
Javier is going through it right now from producer AT. I'm going to bet that's producer AT. We love him. That's awesome. Well, we're all back home and safe, y'all. If you missed it, Lauren, your first time, welcome. What we've been talking about the last, gosh, Javier, what's it been? 3-4 months. Benzinga puts on a massive business event in the cannabis industry twice a year. We had our first one in Miami last week. If you missed any of it, you can catch literally every bit of content on YouTube after you watch our show today. Thank you very much. It's in our playlists. Scroll down. You should see the Cannabis Capital Conference playlist from Miami 2022. But there you see it. Aaron pulled it up. Our main website, bzcannabis.com, is what we were doing all last week. A quick recap. We're going to get into some points of things that we learned from these major executives. We had every major MSO was represented. Every single one. Every tier one MSO, every tier two, every tier three MSO was at least there. And most of them were attending. We had 400 investors, institutional and accredited. We had the largest institutional firm that has invested in the space with Eminence Capital.
Ooh, Eminence. That was a good chat, by the way. We had Ricky Sandler. I mean, this is probably the first time that a current hedge fund manager talked cannabis. You may remember we had Whitney Tilson, former hedge fund manager, on Benzinga Cannabis Insider a couple of months ago. He was talking cannabis. He was also, of course,
he was also there.
conference, because of course, if you're not there, where are you? Be there or be square. That's what our COO says.
Be there or be square. Sit next to somebody you don't know. You can't really do that virtually, but just imagine you are. Y'all, welcome in. If you're just coming in, Benzinga Cannabis Insider, drop your cannabis stocks in the chat if you want us to talk about them. We got some news items though, Javier. While we were at our conference last week, let's go chronologically, right? So let's start with, well, I just mean like let's put our conference on hold for a second. 420. To me, it seems like a very successful 420 for the industry. Just like initial data, I think there was maybe a $5 million miss overall in sales for the day.
The biggest sales day ever in history.
It's still the biggest sales day ever. It's like $154 million, $155 million overall in sales for the day. massive day.
Not surprised at all. Yeah. Meanwhile, we were at the conference doing business. It was crazy. It was a very unique, different way to spend 420, right? You usually spend it at a hash bash or something like that, just getting stoned out of your mind. We were doing business. We were doing, you know, 420 deals per hour, whatever it is, right? Just,
you know what I learned though on 420 is that the average reduction in product price for 420 is like 65%. That's how big of a day this is. So the fact that it was the biggest sales day ever, and most of these companies still spend it with us, it's incredible. And just to kind of put this in a maybe like more direct and smaller perspective, Michigan had like $15 million in sales for the day. You think, oh, a whole state, $15 million, that's it. The previous year was like $9 million. 2 years before, three. That's how big of a jump some of these recreations
look like. Yeah. Beware crypto. There is a new king in town.
Yeah. It's cannabis on 420, 710, and Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Sure. But Javier. You know,
the most interesting things about 420 was Nikki Fried's announcement. So for those who don't know, Nikki Fried is the commissioner of agriculture and consumer services in Florida. She's a Democrat. She is the only elected Democrat on the state level in Florida and the only Democrat elected for office in Florida since the Obama administration. So it's crazy. She is running for governor, by the way, against DeSantis. And she came to the Benzinga Cannabis Conference to make an exclusive announcement at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference. She chose us, of course, because we're great, but also because she initially announced her candidacy to run for office back in 2018 during a prior conference, or our first conference in Benzinga, right? In Miami, right? So this time she showed up at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference again and announced that she is suing the federal government. Yes, a Democrat-run federal government. She is suing the DOJ because of conflicting laws, right?
At this point, cannabis doesn't really matter, though. Like, Democrat, Republican, like, nobody's going to get done. And, you know, there are certain, honestly, Republicans look like the heroes right now. Go ahead, though. Did not mean that.
I mean, honestly, but at the same time, it's like if she's running for governor from a, you know, as a Democrat, I asked her, right? I got the chance to sit with her on stage and I asked her, like, how does this vote for your campaign? And she was like, well, you know, we work closely with the administration. This is kind of a gentleman to get things going. But the reason why she filed a lawsuit is there's conflicting laws. On the one hand, there is the Roe-Bahr-Far amendment, which basically instructs the federal government to avoid intervening in state legal medical cannabis programs, right? On the other hand, however, because, you know, on the other hand, the fact that you're a medical cannabis patient can mean that you might lose your rights to bear firearms in Florida, right? And you wonder, how do these two connect, right? Like, Nikki is also in charge of the concealed firearms program in Florida, right? And what she's saying is, we are, as a country, we are stopping people from accessing or exercising both rights at the same time, right?
I mean, as a side note, I mean, we'll get back to Nikki Fried. Another side note, because I'm the side note king over here. And Matthew, just as another side note, that's kind of all politicians, right? They do what they need to do to get elected. And I feel like that's been the curse of cannabis, is people are doing what they need to do to get a win and a headline. And they're using cannabis as a friggin' pawn to do so.
I'll take it. Whatever it takes to have it legalized.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to preach at you about the failings of our politicians when it comes to cannabis legalization. That being said, this story about New Jersey, when it comes to firearms, how interesting is that? I believe it was yesterday. They came up, mayors and certain, you know, people in New Jersey, kind of municipalities and local governments are, you know, really coming out against this attorney general led memo that basically they don't want cops to use marijuana off duty. And they're saying that
they're allowed. Right now they are allowed. That's what's
right now they are allowed. They say they're not, but they're opening a little known exception. Like, you covered this very well, by the way, Javier, you and your team.
I mean, it's as they should, right? Now, here's the thing, right? The underlying issue here is Americans should not have to decide or choose between their healthcare, taking their medication, or, you know, exercising their Second Amendment right. You know, I'm not a person who's pro-guns personally, but the law's the law, right? If we believe that the laws of America are to be respected, and we do, this is how we ensure that rights are respected, right? A veteran in Florida should not have to choose between treating their PTSD or having their gun, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, having a gun in Florida is not just about personal protection against others. There's like millions of perils in Florida related to like just wildlife.
Speaking of perils in Florida, we have a bride and a caterer. It was yesterday getting arrested because they laced their wedding feast with weed. A bride laced her wedding feast with weed.
Which is awesome if you tell people in advance, right? The thing is, they sucker punched all the guests, and a bunch of them were freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, like, wow. I'm sorry, she's not a very good person. So before we get on to more news items, I mean, Nikki Fried, obviously, you feel what you feel about her. It is, honestly, as a conference provider and as a media platform, we were thrilled to have her with us making these announcements from our platform. We also had Nancy Mace and David Joyce from the Republican side giving their insights on the legislative discussions, and that was phenomenal. Also, David Joyce, one of the nicest guys I think I've ever met.
I mean, again, politicians, right? Like, it's their job to be super nice. And if you're not likable, you don't get that high up, right? I was surprised with Nancy Mace, right? You know, I'm a liberal. She's a Republican from South Carolina who went to military school. And the first time I met her was not at the conference, right? I invited her to the conference when I was in South by Southwest. And she was incredible. She was awesome. She is forward-thinking when it comes to cannabis and several other topics. I was impressed, right? And of course, a lot of that has to do with the fact that you have to be extremely likable to really run for national office.
Yeah. I mean, I think you'll see more of Nancy Mace and David Joyce on our platform talking about legislation. Big thanks to our partner, Brady Cobb, you know, who is making some of these discussions happen, and Rosie Matteo, who's doing the same. Great partners to Benzinga are why Benzinga thrives, and we love them. We thank you. If you want to partner with us, reach out to me, Elliot Lane at Benzinga.com. Always open to talking to anybody and everybody. That being said,
should we discuss a little bit more about Mace and what she talked about, or did we already?
Go for that. Go for it.
So Mace's story is very interesting because she has a very personal connection to cannabis, right? She was raped by a classmate. She was 17, and she had to drop out of school. And she was taking antidepressants, and the antidepressants, she says, didn't help. They made her feel worse. And then she tried cannabis, and it really helped. So, you know, of course, fast forward, she has dealt with this. It still, of course, is a very terrible thing to experience. She's dealt with it, and she's managed to overcome it somehow. I have no idea how. I admire that kind of strength. But she now says she can relate to all the people in need for cannabis, right? She can relate to the veterans who suffer from trauma and PTSD. She can relate to the people struggling with depression, right, who need cannabis. And that is why she is presenting this bill that has a little bit of everything that, you know, the States Reform Act, right, which has a little bit of everything. It has social equity provisions. It has legalization provisions. It has expungement provisions, low taxes. Again, let's remember, this bill is backed by Amazon and Charles Koch's American for Prosperity. So it's a big bill, right? That is
completely. I think the biggest thing you can look at with this bill, it takes the wind out of the sails for the other federal legalization bills, because one simple reason: it would continue the way the cannabis industry has evolved up until now. And it would continue the power where the power is, which is the MSOs and the MSO investors and the lobbyists of the MSOs. And it would continue to help these companies thrive in state-run ecosystems, which is what they've had to grow in thus far. So their money would not be made in vain. They would not lose money nor assets if it went across state lines.
Yep. Actually, before we transition, I think we have some kind of a hype video.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about our event, some topics that were discussed some more. We've obviously touched on some of the legislative side. We have some investment-centric discussions that also happened. But Aaron, play something for us, man. Let these people know what they missed and or saw if they were there.
Ooh, you missed out big time.
It was so much fun. Oh, it was a blast. So good.
You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, but when we just come out and say it, it feels like it falls a bit flat. So instead, we're going to hire a professional voice actor and pay him absurd amounts of money to say,
I like this product.
Not sure why that was better. I mean, I'm a professional too, but we didn't pay him to say the business part, so back to me. Save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. Sorry, I know hearing me say it was a bit of a letdown. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Seeing everybody, we had an incredible amount of legislators and professional athletes, but more than that, y'all, we had the companies that you're investing in. And, you know, we had Sundial. I saw Sundial earlier in the chat. I'm not sure if they're still on from FlyGuy69. That was our most watched virtual session of the event. You know, that was really fun to see. But Zach George talking with Scott Griper from Viridian, an incredible discussion between those two powerhouses. That was a lot of fun to see, and him talking about his growth. And if you're looking at a stock like Sundial, you know, you're looking at a company that's not just, of course, a tier one Canadian cannabis play. You're looking at a company that has an investment vehicle that basically owns or has put a ton of money into an investment vehicle that's also invested into other LPs and into Jushi, a major, you know, probably the fastest growing MSO out there. Into other U.S. plays. I mean, their money is across the ecosystem, which for me, their stock does not reflect actually the actual value of Sundial because it was memeified. Regardless, I tend to go on trains of thought there, but Zach George was awesome. Catch that, you know, their stock, their discussion there as well. All right.
The video on? Was it the studio stage or the main stage? Do you remember? The video is already up.
I believe it was day one studio. Could have been day two studio. Regardless, studio stage. You can check out the agenda, bzcannabis.com, you know, and see, kind of reference that as you go through the playlist of days. Or Aaron's about to drop some of these in the chat because he's an absolute champion. All right. So any topics that you thought were overly interesting for you, Javi?
I mean, I was watching, you know, the video and trying to remember who said what. One of the interesting conversations that I had, and of course happened on stage as well, was with Isaiah Thomas, former NBA player, champion, Detroit Pistons, a very good friend of Benzinga, a very good friend of our Latin American media outlet, ElPlanteo.com. And he was saying something that is super interesting, right? Isaiah is the CEO of One World Products. One World Products trades on the OTC. It's OWPC, OWPC, right? And One World recently announced a partnership with Stellantis, maker, you know, car maker. And they're working on replacing the plastic in cars for hemp-made plastic, right?
Love
His vision for the future is to see the Fords and the GMs of the world go back, yes, back to hemp as an alternative to plastic. Why not even fuels, right? And I found that very, very interesting because it's an amazing way to start or continue to make the auto industry more eco-friendly. It's not about just getting a Tesla. It's not about just going electric. You know, the making of a car and the fact that a car lasts a finite amount of years and then it's discarded is also very impactful to the environment. And the fact that plastics are made out of fossil fuels does not help either, right? Because you have an electric car, but you still have fuel, like fossil fuels in the car itself.
Now, like, I mean, but here's the funny part to me is that you're talking about how to make cars more eco-friendly, how to make, you know, just companies more ESG compliant, not compliant, but, you know, cognizant and aware. To me, it narrows down even further. What's the future of hemp? You know, to me, a massive part of the future of hemp is industrial. And, you know, I don't think there are enough companies there right now. And One World Pharma is one of the few that is out and proud about what they're doing and looking to take over that space. There are a few others, of course.
I'm proud, too, honestly, what they're doing. They're growing cannabis and hemp in Colombia. They recently partnered with the with African American or African Afro-Colombian communities, Amunafro. It's, you know, the society. By the way, Isaiah Thomas is visiting Colombia starting today, I believe.
You're going to go say, "What's up, Isaiah? My name's Javi. I met you the other week." You two know each other very well. But, you know, if you look at like what hemp can be used for, I mean, people know hemp straws. That's the first thing they say. But there's hempcrete. It should be approved for utilized in building structures by the end of the year. Is the plan right now. There's hemp plastic you're talking about. There's the hemp biomass from Generation Hemp, GENH on the OTC, is going to be used to power crypto mining machines.
That is awesome. That is crazy.
The uses are endless. It's incredible. And One World Pharma is leading the way. So it's really cool to have him there and talk about that. I will say the vast majority of our content was marijuana heavy. We didn't have as much hemp content at this one as others. And I think, you know, I was thinking a little bit. I was looking internally, you know, just Elliot, what happened, man? Where are the hemp companies? And I don't think that's a reflection on us as much as it is kind of the hemp industry as a whole.
But here's what's interesting, though. Someone is asking for CGC, Canopy Growth Corporation. You might ask,
are they a hemp?
A Canadian licensed producer who sells basically weed in Canada relate to hemp? Guess what? Canopy has operations in the U.S., right? In the U.S., cannabis is still not federally legal, so they can't get into cannabis. They do have the option to buy Acreage Holdings and Wana Brands as soon as cannabis becomes federally legal in the U.S. Meanwhile, they can't do it because it would jeopardize their listing on the New York Stock Exchange. However, they do have a very interesting hemp play in the U.S., and they produce Martha Stewart gummies. I tried the CBD gummies for Martha Stewart. They call them bonbons or something like that, and they were just amazing. Honestly, delicious.
They also have beverage plays, right? And that CBD beverage plays in the U.S. I think it's Quantum or something like such of the Q. I forget. But regardless, you know, I think that's an entrance. My personal opinion, that's an entrance into this market. Obviously, Martha Stewart, you know, that could take them a lot of ways. But for me, it's a U.S. footprint. I don't know if you're as skeptical as I am about that, Javier.
No. I love it, man. Honestly.
They were there.
Flora. Flora. Won the NASDAQ.
They have you seen how aggressive they have been lately? Honestly, I love it. I love it. Luis is conquering the world right now. He got the first, I think, legalized export out of Colombia, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he's
since the rules changed.
Yes. Yes.
Let me go to Benzinga Pro to find the headlines.
Yeah. So Flora Growth Corp had a great IPO last year, tanked, as it happens a lot with these cannabis stocks.
All of them.
You know, but I think just take a look and look at the last like 2 months of the chart and then just look at their news flow. And it's just like, man, this company deserves so much more. They are moving very quickly. They're moving very intelligently. And they're expanding in very unique ways to the industry.
Another, company with operations in Colombia. I don't know why we keep going back to Colombia. It seems like the chat is taking us there and our interest. Another company that has ties to Colombia that presented at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference on April 21st was Avicanna, ABCNF on the OTC.
One of the few true biotech cannabinoid companies that was at the Benzinga conference. Go ahead though.
No. I mean, it's again a very interesting company that has taken a beating in capital markets, but their model is amazing. They have a biotech play in Canada. They're in Johnson & Johnson's incubator, right? J Labs. They are developing several pharma products. They are partnered with Viola, right? Al Harrington's company. And they're growing cannabis in Colombia as well, right? To make APIs, active pharmaceutical ingredients. I think sourcing active pharmaceutical ingredients from lower cost regions of the world is the future of biotech and CPG, you know, consumer packaged goods in the cannabis space, right? We can't really afford the cost of growing cannabis to be processed in America.
What Reform Act does that open up for international imports and exports?
Who is?
Does the state Reform Act. So if we keep this state's centric play, it's state by state in terms of importing the product, or do these American companies jump into the US then?
There is, and funny enough, we have a feature coming out this week with Nancy Mace, that an interview I conducted a couple of months ago. And they asked her, like, she says America has the best cannabis in the world, right? That is hardly, you know, it's hard to debate. Maybe Colombia, maybe Canada, but really America is growing some of the best cannabis in the world. And I asked her, like, what does that mean, you know, if we open for exports and imports? And she unhesitantly responds, competition is a great thing.
Nice.
Competition makes us better.
I don't think people give enough credit to these Latin American companies. They always talk about like the tier one Canadian players. And granted, it's a game of market share right now. It's a game of money. But I think Flora Growth is a legitimate competitor to anybody.
Actually, can I do one more shout out for Latin America?
Please.
We had in Argentina, of course, people who watch this show know I'm from Argentina. I love that. In the province of Jujuy in Argentina, there's a state-owned cannabis company called Canava. And just today, they completed the largest cannabis harvest in all of Latin America.
Wow.
Massive, massive. It was 80,000. There's 80,000 plants, a total of 25,000 kilos, over 25 tons of pharma-grade cannabis, 35 hectares. This is massive. And it is a state-owned company, meaning this is a company created to supply medicine at an affordable cost to the population, not something to profit off cannabis, which is something that a lot of people often criticize. Here's a company that was created only for the benefit of the population who needs it.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Latin America. This became the LATAM show. Javier, quick, in the chat. We are getting weed from the U.S. already in Canada. I would imagine that's illegal.
Yeah, not legally.
Yeah, I was about to be like, I don't think you're getting it legally there. You know, there's some shops in New York City that I know those companies and they're not there legally.
I mean, on the DL, do enjoy it, you know, if you have it, but
no judgment. They're buying it. This, do your thing. That being said, y'all, it's been fun. We're going to wrap. This has been a quick recap show of our Cannabis Capital Conference. Other things, we had over 2,000 people in Miami last week at the Fountain Blue. The exhibit floor was incredible. Two companies that came to me on the first day and said they raised millions of dollars each. I mean, I couldn't have been more happy and proud that my event was basically done after that.
I heard from our CEO there was like $1 billion worth of deals. That be?
TBD. I don't know if we've tallied them all up there yet, but you're making up numbers. That being said, we'll say yes for now just to make us look amazing. But you can catch all the content. Jason Wild, he was talking about New Jersey the day before New Jersey opened. The dude was giddy with Tim Seymour. That was awesome to watch. Whitney Tilson loves Marimed, MRMD on the OTC. Mike Tyson was on his way to our event when he hit somebody on a plane. That being said, the dude he hit was kind of a jerk. So you decide what you think on that. I know what I think. Ric Flair, super nice guy. You can see what he thinks on cannabis. That being said, y'all, we're super excited about our events. We're going to do it again in New York City in the fall, and we're going to start talking about it soon. So that being said, what was the top news of the event? Can you summarize? Here's what I think is that debt, I'm going to do two things really quick. Debt is absolutely the king right now in terms of capital flow. Equity is almost non-existent. That being said, M&A will continue to steamroll ahead for months on end. Maybe through the end of the year, you'll see some pretty great acquisitions. Safe banking, in my opinion, and some of the opinions of the people on stage, is not going to pass this year. Maybe 23, maybe 24, but federal legislation pretty much in any form, I think the hope is over for this year. That being said, you can catch a lot of these deep dives and companies when it comes to our content on YouTube. Javier, anything you want to add to the last news brief before we get off this channel?
Just one. Shout out to President Biden for issuing the first pardons for cannabis offenders. Mr. Joe Biden, pardon the rest.
Yeah, honestly, great start. Love it. We got a lot more work to do. It was a big first step. Thank you. Thanks to Weldon Angelos for working on that and making that happen. Everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. Richard Judge, Crypto Hunter, Spiro or Spyro, whatever you said. Paul Linhoff, Lauren Lesolame, Alessio Lame, Fly Guy, Matthew Abel. Appreciate you all. We'll see you again on Thursday at 4 o'clock right here on Benzinga's YouTube channel. We'll get some good interviews for you guys. Javier, love you as always, my Argentinian
love you.
Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Verizon. Get a Verizon Business Unlimited plan from the network businesses rely on. Hey, Monica, with 5G Ultra Wideband in many more cities, you get up to 10 times the speed at no extra cost.
Hello, downloads in no time.
Plus, unlimited premium data and hotspot data to keep the signal flowing and your teams going. Come in or book an appointment with a Verizon business expert to find the right plan for your team. 5G Ultra Wideband available in over 1,700 cities with Business Unlimited Pro 2.0 smartphone plan. Speed comparison is to median Verizon 4G LTE speeds. Download speeds may vary depending upon network and coverage conditions and content optimization for 5G Ultra Wideband.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease through Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.